Chapter 5. Suddenly, Kinski was gone. His psi form melted, the ectoplasmic structure of it thawing away like snow. He was dead. I was in no doubt about that, though I had no idea how. My mind was lacerated, damaged from the fight, but I knew I could not submit to unconsciousness yet. I could sense the terrible damage being inflicted on the defenseless ship. I looked down at Enginarium Basic around me. Mathewin and Priest were still pinned down behind the stack console by Sko's hunters. I stabbed out, and each hunter was felled by a psychic dagger. Dead or unconscious, I didn't much care which, they dropped where they were. Cynia!
Gideon!
Get up! You're clear! There's no time! Get up and override Madsen's codes! Quickly, woman! She and Mathewin rose. She started working at the console. Struck again, the ship rolled badly.
"What the bloody hell is happening to my darling?"
Priest wailed. "Just override the codes. We need to get the shields raised." She did as she was told. But even if she was successful, there needed to be someone on the bridge to get the shields up. I soared out of Enginarium Basic and hurtled up through the decks, through bulkheads, through cabins open to hard vacuum, through chambers gutted by fire. I swept through the light cargo holds, burning out the minds of the hunters about to overwhelm dear Kara as I passed. "Get my chair to the bridge!" I left the command ringing in her head as I flew on. Up through spinal, through the lateral halls, along the midship's companionway. There was Nail. Without even pausing, I slammed Fever Sko into the wall as I went by. He fell heavily, unconscious. I entered the bridge. It was in uproar. Klaxons, alarms, red hazard lights, and runes on almost every display. There was Kinski, dead in one seat. Wisten Frauke sprawled across him, dead or dying. In the command throne, Hallstrom. He looked dead, too. His breathing was shallow. His mind had been badly abused. "Hallstrom! Hallstrom!" He twitched, but he did not wake. I had no other option. I had to wear him. He cried out as I went in, waking with the shock. Using his expertise, I studied the main console. Still locked out. The Auspex showed the October country all but alongside, firing still. With Hallstrom's fingers, I opened the intercom.
"Priest, are you done yet?"
My words sounded strange in Hallstrom's voice.
"Nearly, she says,"
Mathewin answered. A pause.
"Try it now."
Nothing.
"Correction,"
Mathewin added.
"Try it now."
Primary control had just been restored. I hit a series of controls and raised the shields. Not all ignited. Thekla's attack had already vaporized some shield nodes and power feeds, and those that did come on were weak. Still, the vibration from the bombardment abated slightly. I tried to probe Hallstrom's beaten mind to work out what he would do. The shields, like most of the ship's systems, derived their power from the ship's primary reactor, which drove the real space drives. But the fire in the real space chambers had cut that back by about 75%, taking the Hinterlight's motive power away with it. Instead, I woke up the secondary reactor, whose only function was to power the currently deactivated warp drive. I transferred that power into the primaries and immediately boosted their shields by 40%. It was unorthodox practice, risky too, but an old and very workable fleet captain's trick, courtesy of Hallstrom's experience. I became aware of Nail as he came up beside me.
"Hallstrom," he asked.
"No, that's me," I said.
"Ah, thought so. Guessing that was you who suckered Sko outside, too."
"Yes."
Nail nodded.
"Thanks for that."
I was working too hard for decent conversation. Despite the boosted shields, large parts of the starboard flank, the focus of Thekla's onslaught, were still vulnerable, lacking as they did any remaining shields to reinforce. The October country would still kill us in short order, unless... Another little trick from Hallstrom's mind. With what little motive power I could squeeze from the damaged real space drive, I got the ship moving and turning. We slid through coruscating flame walls of the solar storm, turning hard to port. Thekla's ship spurred after us, still firing its fusion batteries.
"Can you fly this thing?"
Nail asked.
"No, but Hallstrom can."
Turning her hard, I was presenting the Hinterlight's undamaged port side, and active shields to Thekla's ruinous guns. Of course, with very much less motive thrust than the October country, it was going to be near impossible keeping it there. Already Thekla was steering out under us to come around at our wounded quarters again.
"Harlan, see what weapons we have left," I said.
He crossed to the fire control station and started to fumble with the unfamiliar function controls. I kept the turn tight, rolling the ship to keep the full shields pointing at Thekla's dogged attack.
"Frigal," Nail said at last. "Most of it's shot out. Forget lasers, fusion beamers. I've got one missile battery under the prow that's still alive.
Arm it and target it on the October country's bridge,"
I said. It was getting hard to maintain control over Hullstrom. He was fading fast. I could feel perspiration dripping off his brow as he struggled to stay conscious.
"They'll be shielded," Nail scoffed, "especially around the bridge section. I know, Holland. They've been wailing on us for a good 10 minutes. We're junked. They're still at optimum. We're not going to achieve anything firing at their bridge except wasting our last missiles."
"I know. Please do as I ask."
"Very well," he shrugged.
Hullstrom was slipping away. I made one last effort to turn the ship and then stepped out of his mind. Released, he fell back in the chair. Non-corporeal, I looked at the displays. We'd turned hard, but in another 60 seconds, the October country would pull clear and resume firing on our damaged sections.
"Armed and targeted," Nail reported. "Harlan, when you hear me give the word, fire. No questions."
He nodded. I left the bridge. Through plating, through insulation layers, through inner and outer hull sections, through raised shields, into open space. Fire tide swelled around me, as far as my mind could see. An ocean expanse of flame and seething discharge, crackling and shimmering. Behind me, the wounded bulk of the Hinterlight, sagging and wallowing in the storm. Ahead, the great dark shape of the predatory October country, roaming in for the kill, weapon banks flaring and spitting. It was a gigantic sprint trader, ornate and exquisite, one of the most ancient human ships I had ever seen. I could smell its great age, the dusty odors of its long, rigorous life, the musky, spiced auras of the far-flung places it had visited, the Xenos perfumes of its more ungodly voyages. I could taste the steely resolve of its ruthless master. I swept on, through the cavorting radiance of the storm, and went in, through its shields, its hull. Thekla stood on a raised platform, studying his actuality sphere. Target runes were clustering around the graphic of the Hinterlight. He was a tall man, regal, in a Celpic blue coat, furnished with gold braid and a silk cravat. His face was an organic tracery of inlaid circuitry. MIU linkage cables tracked out from the base of his skull, from under the powdered wig he wore, and connected his mind to the Sprint Trader's systems. His hands were augmetic. He was shouting orders to his bridge crew. There were 13 of them, arranged around the edge of his platform, operating polished brass stations. Helm, subhelm, system control, vox and comm, navigation supervisor, ordnance officer, defense officer. Defense officer. I plunged into the man's mind.
"Now, Harlan, now!"
"The Hinterlight has launched missiles, master,"
the ordnance officer called out beside me. I heard Thekla laugh.
"One last effort, eh? Rather too little, too late, I think."
The defense officer was fighting me. He struggled and contorted.
"Lefebvre, what the frig's the matter with you, man? You're twitching around like an idiot."
I was hurt, weak. The man's mind was strong. At this range, and through the turmoil of the storm, my abilities were desperately limited, especially without the boosting relay of a Wraithstone marker. But I would not let him go. Frantically, I blew out his neural system and forced his twitching hands onto the brass levers of his station, and cut the October country's shields. In the last millisecond of his life, Thekla realized what was happening and screamed out a name. My name, in fact. 8 missiles in tight formation screamed in silently out of the storm and vaporized the October country's bridge, taking everyone with it.